So let's pray and get into 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Lord, thank you for this blessed day. You got a word to speak for us. Lord, you got a word of healing for us. Lord, you got a word of instruction for us. Lord, you got a word of encouragement and conviction. Lord, lead us, speak to us, teach us today that we may be conformed into your image and be more like you and less like us. We love you, Lord. Speak in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul, last week, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 20, but I just want to recap a little bit. Paul, last week, was talking about the resurrection of the dead, and he had said that our faith is not our faith in Christ is just not faith-based, but it's also evidence-based. If you remember, he said that there was over 500 people that after Jesus had died and rose again, saw him. So Paul's like, listen, you can tweet them, you can Facebook Messenger them, just ask them. There's over 500 people at the same time seeing Jesus. You know, some people say that Christianity is a made-up religion by Jesus' followers. Maybe you've heard that argument, but let's think about it for a second. If it was made up, what did they gain? You got beat down, jailed, and crucified. And by the way, they believed if you were a liar, you're going to hell. So it's sign me up. That's what I want to do. If you're a follower and you're going to start something, is that the game plan you're going to sign up on? Is that where you're going to put your name on the list? Yeah, sign me up for jail, beatings, and crucifixion. I'm all into this. And poverty too, and mocking, and losing your job, and your children getting punked at school, and you getting passed over for promotions. Listen, Christianity's the real deal, and these guys said, we're going to sign up on the dotted line. And there was 500 of them that had saw Jesus Christ after Jesus had rose from the dead, Paul said. And then Paul said, after he had appeared to them, he had also showed his self to the other disciples and the apostles. Now listen, just the simple fact that Paul, he said, then after them, he appeared to me as one born out of due season, meaning he was born like a stillborn. Now I'm going to tell you guys something about the proof of the resurrection. Paul's life was evidence alone of a resurrection. He said he was a hater, a persecutor, dragging women and men and children out of their houses, putting them in jail, casting his vote for them to be put to death. And it was so crazy that there was a conversion. And it would be kind of like today if Hillary Clinton started campaigning for Donald Trump. Amen. And she started wearing a I'm with him shirt and let's make America great again. Now, how many of you guys know if that happened, you would say something happened? Right? She's out there on the campaign trail. You know, the resurrection, the proof of the resurrection is a resurrection in us. You know, people can deny your message, but they cannot deny the work God is doing in you. Amen? Amen. The work that God is doing, that he started in you, that he's completing in you, that he's developing in you, God's got it. And for some people that knew us back in the day and they see us now, they have to admit something has happened. Has anybody known you like that? There were some people from back in the day and they saw you and they're just like, I don't know what it is, but there's something definitely different about you. I know my family thinks I'm crazy. Anybody else out there? That's okay. Something's different. And that difference is the power of the resurrection in us, that we're an example to those around us. And so Paul said that when he got saved, he got busy. Look at verse 9 for a second. He said, for I am least of the apostles, and I'm not worthy to be called apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But, everybody say but. Man, you got to circle those big buts in the scripture. But, by the grace of God, I am what I am. For his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored, I worked, I pushed, I grinded more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which is in me. Paul said, it's by the grace of God I am who I am. It's by the grace of God you are who you are. It's by the grace of God I am who I am. There's some of us, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we should have ended it long ago. Been in jail, still hooked up on dope, running from the cops. But it's by the grace of God that we are who we are. Did you know that? It's not by your best friends. I'm sure you got good people in your life. But God showed up in your life when you had nobody. And it's by that work, by his grace coming alongside of us, we are by we are. Thank God for grace. Somebody needs to thank God for grace this morning. I'll do it by myself. I'll do it for me. Forget you. I'm going to do it for myself. I know how far God's brought me. And Paul said it was by the grace of God that he was who he was, but he didn't take God's grace for granted. He outworked. He outshowed up than all the other apostles. And I love Paul for that because he got a late start in the game. Just like a lot of us, some of us have gotten a late start in the game. But God used him in a miraculous way. And he says, I worked harder than them all. And we need to remember that we got to keep going in grace. You know, sometimes I fall during the week. And I know it's hard to believe because a lot of you guys think I'm perfect. But Vicky will definitely have a sit down with you and tell you otherwise. But man, sometimes I get some rough weeks, do you? And I just think, man, I got so far to go. I got so far to grow. I went to Starbucks this week. That's my favorite place to go in the whole wide world, next to Walmart. And man, I just realized how negative I am. Vicky pointed it out to me, and then I realized it. But I got up to the window, and the kid there was like, hey, Jason, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to be supervisor, man. I'm going for it. And I could tell he was super stoked and excited. And you know, instead of encouraging, you know what I said to him? Oh, man, you better get your helmet on. Because I'll tell you what, you think you got it rough now, wait till you're in charge of some people, because then you're going to, you know, it's going to be, you're going to want to quit. And every time somebody messes up, it's going to be your fault. Oh, you're going to be supervisor? Oh, man, you better hope you're getting a raise, bruh. And Vicky looked over at me, and she had this look like, what are you doing? And she's like, you're just so negative. And I'm like, man, you're right. So then when he came back, I'm like, bro, congratulations, congratulations. Like you can do it. You're just, man, you're going to be the best supervisor. Stocks are up. I'm buying in because of you, man. I'm buying in because of you. So I had to have this flip of the switch. But how many of you guys know the more that we grow in the Lord, the least we get in our own eyes? Paul said, I'm the least of the apostles. There was a progression. I'm the least of the apostles. I'm the least of the saints. And then at the end of his life in 1 Timothy, he said, I'm the least of all the sinners. Paul wasn't doing meth and downloading porn. You know what he was doing? He was serving the Lord. And the more that he grew in the Lord, the less he got in his eyes. So listen, if you're not there yet, join the club. We're all kind of working it out. And if you're going to fail, you might as well fail forward, amen? Fail forward. Try small. Because God blesses our efforts, not our excuses. And I seriously believe that there's a lot of people that'll hear this message, and instead of growing, they're making excuses on why they can't. This church is filled with men, women, children who have overcome incredible obstacles because of Jesus Christ, and nobody else can take the credit but the Lord God. And I'm going to tell you guys what, when it comes to growing, we got to grind. We got to grind. It's not just God. I don't know who told you that. But if you're going to make it, you're going to have to grind it out a little bit with the Lord. But listen, he gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud. So what we do is we're going to fail our way forward if we have to, but we're going forward. Amen? And so Paul said, he says, it's because of the grace of God I am who I am. And he got busy. So now let's turn over, and we're going to just look at verse 12 for a second, where Paul closed off last week, and he said, if there was no resurrection, we'd all be in trouble. Verse 13, if the dead do not rise, Christ hasn't risen. Verse 14, Christ has not raised, then our preaching is in vain. Our faith is in vain. Verse 15, Christ, if he hasn't raised, then Paul said he's a total liar. Verse 17, if Christ hasn't risen, our faith is futile and we're still in our sins. Verse 18, if Christ hasn't risen, then our loved ones are dead and they're gone. There's no hope. Verse 19, he ends it off with this: if Christ hasn't been raised, then we're to be pitied most of all men. Can you say amen to the resurrection is the one thing that changes everything? If it wasn't for the resurrection, you guys got something better to do than to be here today. If it wasn't for the resurrection, we could be doing so many other things with our life. But the reason that we're here, and it's the one thing that changes everything, is the resurrection. And so Paul, now he goes into verse 20, and he picks up there, and he says this: but now Christ is risen. You remember, but? Say it with me, but. But now. See, there's a different time. The switch is flipped. Christ has risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. But each one in his own order. I'm sorry, verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so Christ all shall be made alive. So Paul says that since by man came death, and he's talking about Adam. He doesn't say Eve. Did you ever see that? He doesn't say by Eve came death, and here's why. Because Adam is a man, and he was the head of his household, not his wife. The one who should have been there for his wife was Adam. And instead of saying, listen, this isn't a good idea, let's not do this, I'm going to pray with you, I'm going to support you, I'm going to be there with you. Instead, Adam said, listen, I'm going to be there right with you when you go for it, and I'm going to go for it too. You know, we got to be men. And part of that in our household is to lead those in our household not to sin, but to righteousness. Does that make sense? You want to be a man of God, start leading your household, your wives and your children in the things of the Lord. Instead of being like, hey, let's just go for it and do it, how about you support them in doing the right thing? So Paul says it was Adam, and man, all died. That was Adam. And he said that although they didn't face consequences, and we all know this, you remember the story about the devil when he had told him, if you eat of this, you will surely die? They didn't surely die right away, did they? So after they had ate the fruit, they're like, you know, they thought about it. They probably justified it a little bit. They reasoned it out. You guys know how you do when you're in temptation. First thing isn't go to the Lord in prayer, that he gives you strength to conquer it. You're thinking about a scripture verse to support it. And so Adam and Eve, they go for it, and it was right. They surely did not die right away. But they ended up dying anyway. And I'm going to tell you guys something. There's a principle here about that. If you ignore the consequences, if you ignore the Holy Spirit, if you ignore that voice of God guiding you, leading you into truth and righteousness, can I just tell you right now that you can play now, but you'll pay later? If you keep, I don't know who that was to, but if you keep it going and you don't listen, you can play now, but you're going to pay later. And what God was saying to them was like, listen, don't even mess with it. Cut it off. Don't entertain it. Don't self-talk. Just listen. If you think it's a problem, get rid of it. Because it's better to get rid of the problem than perish. And you know what the Bible tells us? Your sin will find you out. How many of you guys have found that out? I mean, we can't run fast enough from it. And so Paul said, by all men came the death through one man. And so Paul tells us that Adam brought death, but Jesus brings life. Verse 22, he says, Christ in all shall be made alive. Now, when he says all shall be made alive, Paul's not saying everybody's going to be made alive because of Jesus. He's saying those who put their faith, their hope, and their trust in Christ will have life because of Christ. And later. This is all about the resurrection. What did Jesus say? Whoever, in John chapter 5, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has everlasting not life and has not judgment but passed from life, from death to life. But it's in Jesus. There's no other way but God through his Son and the cross and his finished work. And his finished work on the cross. Today we live in a society and a culture where all roads lead to life. But Jesus says that's not true. It's exclusive. It's limited. It's restrictive. And I think the problem with eternity for some of us, you guys, is that we don't know who's right until it's all over. Have you ever thought about that? What you believe, you don't know if it's right or wrong until you're dead. And then by then it might be too late. But you know what Jesus says? He says you can know now. And here's why. He says, this is what Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 1. Assuredly I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. And then John chapter 14, 6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father but through me. And then in John chapter 6, verse 37, he says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will in no way cast out. Can I just tell you that perfect people don't go to heaven, but forgiven people do? And it's in Jesus. It's a gift. And so we don't have to wonder when we're dead and it's all done. Were we right? Jesus backed up those sayings because of the resurrection. That's why Paul's spending so much time on it. And so, although in Adam, all die, we're all made alive in Christ. And there's evidence of it in his resurrection. Check out verse 23. Paul says, but each one in this order, Christ the first fruits, and afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Jesus is the first fruit of the death of the resurrection for all those who die and are resurrected again. First fruits. You guys remember what we talked about last week about the first fruits? How cool that was, that it was an offering on faith that more was to come. Do you remember? And Jesus rose out on the grave on that Sunday, which was the day after the Passover of the first fruits. And he was that offering that said, more is to come. I'm evidence of it. This ain't the end of it. He rose on the first day of the first fruits to show that he conquered death. You know, we all love people that do crazy and amazing things. You guys remember the Neil Armstrong? No, some of you weren't even born yet. 69, it's back in the day. You know, we had dinosaurs. And so, but Neil Armstrong, do you guys remember how crazy that was? Well, I don't. I wasn't even thought of yet. But for some of us that were alive, that was nuts. Here's a great idea. Let's put a guy in a tin can and just like shoot him out there and see what happens. And who's going to sign up? Can you imagine Neil Armstrong? That boy was tough. Yeah, I'll do it. Like, we've never been to the moon before. You know, maybe it's made out of cheese and there's a big rat under there, but I'm down to go. And now, do you know we're talking about going to Mars? But Jesus did something so much greater. He went to death. He went through hell and he conquered them both. And he rose again from the grave on the third day. See, Jesus Christ is our forerunner. He's our first fruits. And he says, listen, there's more beyond the grave. And what that means is that Jesus has abolished the fear of death. It's been destroyed. We don't have to worry about it. We don't got to stay up all night and freak out about it. Jesus has rose from the grave. And so Paul says in verse 24 and 28, the death will be destroyed and Jesus is going to put everything back to normal. I wonder if you guys are in a season where things are just not normal right now. You know, you want them kids to get back on that sleep schedule. Get back to normal before somebody dies, amen? Get your house moved in. Get some your schedule back on normal. We all like normalcy. And right now, what we're going to see is that our culture, our present time to God is anything but normal to God. The way things are now are not the way things are going to be. Not only are they not the way they're going to be, they're not the way things God wants them to be. Did you know that? So this is what Paul says. He says here in verse 24, then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, and when he puts an end to all rule and authority and all power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it's evident that he who puts all things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him, the Father, who put all things under him, that God may be all and in all. So Paul starts out and he says that Jesus is going to put an end to all the garbage. Verse 24, every wrong will be made right. Every right will be rewarded. Thank you, Jesus, for that, because it's so backwards today. Verse 25 and 26, he says the last enemy to be destroyed is going to be death. The last enemy. You know what we learn about death? It's your enemy. It's your enemy. That's what he says. And that's why, you know, think about it. That's why you wear helmets, seat belts, don't listen to country music, you know, because death is our enemy. And I did a little study on this, and this is going to blow your mind. But did you know that people who use meth regularly and vegetarians who are strict on their diet both die? Did you know that? No, it's true. You can eat all the carrots and kale and go to the gym and run around the block all that you want, but here's the statistics of it. 10 out of 10 people are going to end up dead. I was meditating on this last night, I kid you not, as I was making vegetable beef soup. And I was chopping up avocados and celery and onions and broccoli and zucchini. And I was putting all this stuff in there. I was like, man, Lord, it's going to feel so good. This is going to be great. And then potatoes, good beef, bone broth. And I started meditating about this. And I thought, you know what? What am I doing? So I had 40 minutes in between from when that stew was going to be done, and I ate a whole king-sized Hershey's bar with almonds. Not even playing. And I felt good. I'm not even lying. I felt really good about it. Vicky said, what are you doing? I said, I'm eating my king-sized Hershey's. And she's like, before dinner? I said, yeah, because it doesn't even matter. Enemy, death is our enemy. That's what Paul's saying. And Jesus, there's going to come a day when death is going to be destroyed. Not only to our physical bodies, but to our marriages, to our joy, to our peace, to our hope, to our future, to our spiritual being. Death is going to be destroyed. And Paul says, listen, that's something to get stoked about. It's going to happen. God's going to put it all under his feet. And we know he hasn't done it already because he's long-suffering, not wishing that any would perish, but that all would come to life. Thank God he didn't come when somebody else wanted him to, because if he had, you wouldn't be here today. God's gracious, long-suffering. Boy, he puts up with a lot. If it was me, church, whew, as soon as I got saved, we'd all be out of here. But death is going to be destroyed. God's going to put it under his feet. He says in verse 27 that God may be all and in all. Paul tells us that Jesus' desire here is that God, he's going to glorify God the Father. So we have a picture of the Trinity. Hang out with me just for a second. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. But they each have distinct roles individually. The Father predestines, he calls, the Son saves, and the Holy Spirit guides and leads us and fills us with his Spirit. And the point of that Paul's making here is that Jesus' desire is to bring glory to the Father, and then the Father is going to bring glory to the Son. The Holy Spirit brings glory to the Son too. And you know what that teaches us is that we need to be focused on other people and not just on our own selves. The God, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, they seek to glorify each other. Man, how easy does it get to get wrapped up in your own garbage every day? Because you got your stuff. You're going through trying to figure out how to raise money. You're going through how to scrounge up work. You're going through how to make the bills. You're going through how to raise your kids. Your husband's trying to provide for that. And we can get so caught up in our own things and our own ways. And then there's people around us and we're just so stubborn and selfish and self-centered that we don't think about the people closest to us. I think somebody needs to go home today and just tell somebody, I appreciate you. We're to seek to glorify each other, not ourselves. Paul says the Son's going to put everything. He's going to conquer everything. It's going to be under his feet, and then he's going to give it to the Father. And he's going to glorify the Father, and in that, the Father will be glorified. And so now, as Paul gets ready to close this out, he says in verse 29 that if there's no resurrection, you might as well just do whatever you want. He says in verse 29, otherwise, this is where he starts. He says something kind of weird here, actually. It seems out of place, but it's not. He says, otherwise, what will they do? Say they. It's important that you read slow. I've told you that before, right? When you're reading the Bible, don't just read it. You're going to have to camp out a little bit. I'm going to show you why. Otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead if the dead do not rise at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead? It's an interesting verse, Paul. Are we supposed to baptize for the dead? That's the first thing that comes to a lot of Christians' mind. But if you haven't noticed yet, we don't baptize for the dead. So what's Paul talking about? It was a pagan ritual that these people in Corinth would do. Do you remember when I said, say they? He doesn't say, then why do we? Then why don't you? How come us? But he's making a distinction between us and somebody else. Who is the somebody else? Pagans who don't believe in Jesus Christ. And they had this thing that they would baptize for the dead, that they would have eternal life. You know who does that today? LDS. The LDS church sure does. They're huge on genealogies. You know, when you look at, go online and you want to search your genealogies, guess who's pumping that out? The Mormons, and here's why. Because they baptize for the dead, and so they want to know their genealogy. Hey, and by the way, if some white dude in the Midwest decides to start a cult where you can marry as many women as you want because you've got golden spectacles to read a book, you know what? That's probably not the guy to go with. Just saying. Really, you got to wear special panties? You know, maybe just think about it for a second. Like, just for a second, okay? Like, hit the brakes. And so Mormons, I don't know if you're familiar with them, but you know, normally it's two young guys, attractive, spend a lot of time together, dress very nicely, in shape, riding their bikes around town, showing up at your house whenever they want. They don't even ask. And they're pushing their agenda. And they based a whole theology, a whole doctrine off this one verse for being baptized for the dead, but they missed it. Paul says, why do they do it? Why do we do it? And so we want to remember, listen, we don't want to build a whole theology or doctrine off of one verse that's supported nowhere else in the scriptures. But Paul made it clear. He was talking about the people around him saying, hey, listen, there's a resurrection. Even the pagans, even the people around you in your culture knows that there's going to be life after death, or else they wouldn't be doing the baptism of the dead. And so now, Paul, in verse 30, he says, and why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? He says, I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. So Paul, I just want to stop there, because he's like, I want to boast for a second. You remember we talked about humble boasting last week, about how people were just like, man, I'm doing so good. You know, I helped this guy out with gas money, selfie. Went to the hospital, I'm just trying to help this cat at pick of the litter, selfie, whatever. And it's called hashtag humble boast. And Paul, let me boast for a second, because they had some boastful preachers in Corinth. Now, they had heavy hitters, just so you know. We're almost done, but I want to teach you something. You know, Corinth had some heavy hitters with pastors. They had Paul. They had Peter. They had Timothy. They had Apollos, and man, Apollos was good. Boy, that guy could preach. But then when they were gone, they had these guys come up and they would boast and they were flamboyant. They had gold chains on their wrists and on their necklace, and they were driving Ferraris and Rolls Royce, and they would boast. And Paul's like, you know what? I want to boast. Let me get in on the boast. Okay, let me get in on the boast. Here's my boast. Check this out. I want to boast too. Here it is. I die every day. Dang, Paul. Like, who wants to boast about that? Yeah. I'm like on the verge of death on the daily. Paul was so hardcore in his life for Jesus Christ that he literally was on like guard of death daily. Do you guys remember Acts 23 where there was over 40 men who took a vow that said, we're not going to eat nothing until we put Paul to death? Do you guys remember the vow? It would be like there was 40 tweakers and they had their eyes on you. And we ain't doing meth until we get Dave. Could you imagine that? 40 of them tweaking all crazied out. And these were people that were in Paul's life, and they couldn't stand the change that Jesus made in his life. Are there people that can't stand the change in you? You know, you're not the one buying the dope no more. You're not the one having everybody at the house. You know what I mean? And so Paul's like, listen, I live on death on the daily. Let me ask you guys something. How are you living for the Lord today? Are you pushing? Are you growing? Do people around you know it? Are you upsetting a few people? That's okay. That's not always a bad thing. Sometimes that's a good thing because it's an indication that you're growing. And so Paul says in verse 32, he says, check this out. We're going to end with this here. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise, let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. Now, I don't know. There's no account of Paul actually going to Ephesus and fighting literal animals, lions and tigers and whatnot. It could have happened. You know, could you imagine? We're always trying to up things today. UFC, when it started out, you remember no gloves, no rules. If you weighed 400 pounds and you were going to fight some guy that was 160, it was on. Let's get it on. And the only way that you got out of that cage is somebody drug you. Could you imagine being in Paul's day where, like, they throw you in a cage with a lion and, like, that's taking it up to the next level? Like, that's the only thing now. Like, if somebody wants to do something crazy today, I would not doubt that something like this will end up happening. The only way we could turn UFC up a notch is start throwing swords in there. Paul said that he fought with these beasts, but I think it was men. I think it was just crazy, bent men who were trying to waste Paul and kill him. And he says, listen, what good is it? What good is it if I do all of this stuff? And let's be honest for a second. Hell is a great motivator to stay on track, isn't it? Come on now. I know you just want to serve the Lord because you find so much joy in it. I doubt that all the time. And honestly, I think the fear of hell's in some of us. Because think about it. I mean, Paul's saying, why do I stay on the straight and narrow? I mean, why not go get drunk, get naked, go to Walmart and find out what happens? Right? Like, let's just see what happens. Maybe I'll end up on the news. Who knows? Let's just ride this thing and get crazy. Let's just do it that way. He says, because, you know, let us eat and drink for tomorrow that we die. This is a very important little note that he makes here. You might want to not jot this down in your Bible. You know where that came from? In that time, this is, Paul would go, people would go and they would party. And when they would party, the people who were in business, like let's say you owned a bar and you had people come in, they were partying and you would give food and everything and you would have a dinner. You would be drinking and partying and eating. And at the end of it, what they would do, check this out. They would get a guy in a coffin, no joke. And they would parade him around your table while you're partying. And they would point to the dead guy. Hey, you better have another beer, because guess what's going to happen to you tomorrow, buddy? Right here in this crate, man. You drink tomorrow, you're going to die. And people are like, man, that's kind of gross, but yeah, you're right. Give me another beer. Let's just keep this going. And so when this thing was going around, they were just like, yeah, this is it. This is our faith. This is all there is to all of this. And Paul's saying, you know what? No, it's not true. Let me ask you something. Why not smoke as much weed as you can smoke? Why not get as high as you can get? Why not have as much sex with whoever you want to have it? Why not rip people off and get your own way and do your own thing? Why not? Here's why. Because God's got so much more for you in your life than that. You know, when you get high, you can't be influenced by the Holy Spirit. When we're out there doing stuff, stupid stuff, we can't be a witness of Jesus to those around us. Being a Christian isn't always easier. Sometimes it's harder. And so Paul says, listen, if there's no resurrection, let's just go for it. But there is. Now let's close out with this. Worship team, come on up. We're going to close out with this. This is important. When I was studying this scripture, this kind of blew my mind, the way that Paul ended this in verse 33. Paul says that having the knowledge of the resurrection should change things in our life. And this is how it starts. In verse 33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God, and I speak this to your shame. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. And this is what I want to end off with. When I saw this, I thought, okay, Paul, you've been talking about the resurrection. You've been building a case for the Lord's death and him rising on the third day. Eyewitnesses, people have seen him. You've reasoned it all out. And the conclusion of it is that the resurrection is the one thing that changes everything. And then at the end of this, he says this, do not be deceived. And that evil company corrupts good habits. And I thought, why are you saying that there? What has that got to do with anything to do with the resurrection? Am I slow? Do you guys wonder why Paul's throwing that in there? Here's why. Because in Corinth, as we're finishing this book out, we're done. We got two more messages, we're done. We've been in it for 5 months. The reason why they were so jacked up with screwing around on each other, with suing each other, with coming to church high, getting drunk, doing whatever they wanted to do, is because of the people they were hanging out with. And it messed their life up, not only in what they were doing, but check this out, in what they were thinking. Primarily, what they were thinking about Jesus. And I want to tell you guys this morning, we're going to end off with this. We need to remember that evil company corrupts. Evil company corrupts. Would you stand with me? Stand with me as we close this out. Evil company corrupts. And there's people who maybe want to be in your life. Maybe there's people you want in your life. And I do believe that there's some people here that because you've been alone and you are lonely, there's some people you'll hang out with just to hang out with them just so you're not lonely anymore. And if that's you this morning, there's been people in your life that you've been getting around, God wants you to know, listen, you got to be careful because bad company corrupts. And others of us, maybe... Listen, he said bad company. He didn't say bad people. Because you might be keeping company with somebody who's not even a somebody. Could be a book. Could be something online. Could be the time you're spending shopping. It could be the time that you're doing this, you're doing that. You're in bad company. And the reason why this is so important to me and it's so much on my heart is because of how many people we've been losing lately to suicide. They've been depressed and they're discouraged and they don't know where to go and they don't know where to turn. And then they turn to bad company and it's corrupting them. It's corrupting their life and it's corrupting their mind. And God's telling you today, listen, if there's something in your life right now that's corrupting you, you need to get it out. I was thinking about the thief on the cross. There's two of them. Jesus was in between both of them. And one of them cried out to the Lord for his company and companionship. And Jesus looked at him and said, today you will be with me in paradise. So if that's you this morning, and maybe you're struggling, you're being alone, that's a good time to get alone with the Lord. Maybe you're here today and you just feel like you don't have anybody in your life you can turn to. Get plugged into a Christian brother or sister in your life. And yes, they may nag you. Yes, they may always call you and text you and burden you and all this stuff. You know why? They care about you. If God's put somebody in your heart or in your life to connect with in good company, man, thank God for that. And for others of you who don't want to step out, you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to reach out to people because some of us think we can do it all on our own, but the Bible tells us otherwise. We need each other. We're better together. Amen. So, Father, we come into your presence today and we thank you for your death on the cross, that you came into our company, Lord, and instead of us corrupting you, you made us holy to you, righteous to you. And we thank you for that, Lord. Father, I pray over the one that's in here today that has maybe either been hanging out with people because they're lonely or hanging out with nobody. Either way, the company that they are keeping is corrupting them. Father, I pray that now that you would just put it on their heart that you're calling them, drawing them in with that irresistible grace, with arms wide open where Paul said, by the grace of God, I am who I am. Offering eternal life, offering hope, offering forgiveness, offering fellowship. Lord, if there's somebody in here today that's feeling isolated and alone, God, I just pray in Jesus' name that they would reach out, Father, to the body and to you, that they would be forgiven, that they'd have peace, that they would grow in grace. We thank you for your sacrifice, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.